out. It's a little bit about things coming up, a little bit of, we've been working on the calendar some, and we got some dates here we want to make you aware of. Next Sunday night, we'll have some more for you, but before we get into the message, I just want to go over them. You want to get your Bibles ready. We're going to be in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 again. Ephesians, chapter number 1. I'm going to be here for a little while, it seems like, on Sunday nights. But as the ushers are passing out these special dates for 2019, it's not complete. But we did want to get some things so that way you could put it on the calendar. And looking forward to some having a great year this year. Okay, I think the majority have them. So as you notice on there, a few things you already know about. Ladies Appreciation Luncheon is on May 4th. Our Spring Revival with Brother Barnhouse. We're still working on the dates there. He's not sure if we're either going to make it a Sunday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday. But that's the tentative dates there. We know that the 5th through the 8th is definite. We have something on there called Junior Camp. And that's the 17th through the 19th. Something is a little bit different this year. It's a shorter. It's going to only be Monday night, Tuesday night, into Wednesday, but we're actually going to be having it here at our church. And got some details coming up for our junior age kids for that, and they're going to have a lot of fun here. And so we're looking forward to that. Youth Congress is the week-long trip that it's kind of our camp week that year for our teenagers. Camp Barnabas is something that's for the older teenagers that helps gets them ready for serving in different ways and capacities inside of ministries. We'll have different tracks that for young men that are interested in being preachers, and young ladies and young men interested in music ministry, and also young men and young lady that are interested in teaching. So it's a different camp that we have some of our older kids that are interested in being a part of that, getting some training concerning that, and looking for that. So they're going to have two different camp weeks. Youth Congress will be something open to most of the teenagers, and I believe even maybe a few of the college-age kids. But the Camp Barnabas is for the older kids that are interested in learning and growing in the ways that they minister. Mission Sunday with Don Sisk is on July 28th. Kids Crusade is coming up, and that would be July 29th through August 2nd. And also our Fall Bible Conference and Friend Day is September 29th through October 6th. So we got some of the things worked out for all those details. On September 28th, we're going to be having a choir conference with Brother Fox, and Brother Fox will be preaching for us on September 29th. That's not on the calendar there. Next Sunday night, we'll have different things such as lady meetings, men's prayer breakfast, where exactly our Christmas program is going to be, and also our Christmas banquet. Things like that, but this give you a few things to put on the calendar there, and so you can be thinking about that, and that way you can give that first priority there, so that way you don't plan trips during the weeks of Bible conference, right? Amen? Don't plan trips during the week of spring revival, if possible, and so we try to give you those things so you can put on the calendar so you know. I have people tell me all the time, I didn't know. When I gave it to you in January, they said, I didn't know. So now that I'm giving it to you in March, maybe you'll figure it out and you'll know. So, but I'm glad. I'm thankful. And I know most people are as faithful as they can be. We've had a good year so far this year. And looking forward to a great rest of the year. So it's nice to see Miss Leah Ackley here. We like to announce all our visitors, and she hasn't been here for a while. So be praying for the Ackleys. And I know she wants to be here, and I feel so bad. She got this baby is coming. Seems like a different kid gets something different every couple days. So make sure you keep the Ackleys in your prayers, and especially with the baby coming in on Tuesday. I think they're going to induce. Is that correct? So that's exciting and scary, too, at the same time. So she said she's ready to get the baby out, right? So so we're looking forward to a new baby being here soon, too. So keep them in your prayers. And so tonight we're going to look at, once again, we're beginning the series in the book of Ephesians. It's a very rewarding series. It's a very challenging series to preach through. So we're going to take our time with it and go through it one step at a time. Sometimes it'll only be one verse at a time that we look at, and just because it's so rich and there's so much value in there. And I'm hoping that we'll walk away understanding our place in Christ and the heavenly riches that we have and the spiritual blessings that we have. many times we walk around so defeated and we don't even understand that we live, as I was talking about last week, we live like a pauper, but we're a child of the King. And that we have so many spiritual blessings. Look what it says in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, I want to think about that word "bless." You see it's used a couple of different times. First, in the talking "blessed be," talking about the God, the Father. Then it also talks about how we are blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So what's the definition of the word "bless"? Webster says it's of an enjoying happiness, specifically enjoying the bliss of heaven. It carries the idea of the things that brings pleasure and contentment and good fortune. Simply stated, it is a state of being that we all want to enjoy, is to be blessed. We all like blessings, and we all like the things to be in a good and contented, good fortune manner. I don't think there's anybody in this room that would say, "I don't want to be blessed of the God." And I believe that one of the title of the message is, "I am blessed." And if you're in Christ, as it talks about at the end of verse number 3, you truly are blessed. Now, when it comes to this matter of blessings, sometimes people look at it in the wrong way. Sometimes people look at it in a physical sense, in a material sense. They think, "I am blessed because my household is doing well and no one is sick." We consider ourselves blessed when we have money in the bank and our bills are paid. And yes, those are blessings. If we are living in a nice home, driving a good car, we equate many times all those physical things with blessings, and they are a blessing. And we would have to agree that those things and those blessings come from God. But what happens when someone gets sick? What happens when someone has a dreaded disease? Do we stop being blessed? Are we cease from the spiritual blessings that God tells us? And the answer is no. What happens when we have to drive junk cars and our house are falling down around us? What happens when we have no money and we can't pay the bills? Did we lose the blessing of God? Does that mean somehow the Lord has stopped blessing us? And the answer is no. Our problem is that we tend to look at our blessings in regard to the benefit of us materially. But the book of Ephesians speaks about how rich we are spiritually. Certainly, God has blessed us. Certainly, we need to remember those things such as the house and the money and the cars. They're all temporal things. The spiritual blessings God offers are something that lasts forever. That car that you have will drive one day. It might drive, but it's going to die one day. The money that you spent on these things, as you spend it, it goes away. The house that you live in may rot and decay. Our health will eventually decline. And, you know, we see that and we understand that. As we need to know that the real blessings of the Lord are not material or physical. The real blessings of the Lord are spiritual in nature. And these spiritual blessings will never be taken away from us. Even when everything else is gone, everything else is broken down, all the money is spent, and even when our bodies are giving out on us, we still possess the best blessings, God's blessings. So here, I like to look at this verse, and we're going to stay here for the most part tonight. And one of the main reasons is because if you try to combine too many verses, we'll be here all night. But there's some focus here I'd like for us to get, and guess a couple things. It's a simple message. The first thing is the source of our blessings. Then we have the scope of our blessings, and then the sphere of our blessings. First thing I want you to think about is when we say "I am blessed," we need to remember where those blessings come from. They come from God. And look what it says in verse number 3 again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's three parts. You're going to see this as we go through Ephesians 1. You're going to see God's part in it. And we're going to see the Son's part in it. And we're going to see the Spirit's part of it. And here we are blessed by God, and He is the scope of our blessings. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." The scope of our blessings. The source of our blessings. I know so many times people struggle with this thought. You know, "I'm blessed because of what I've done. I'm blessed because of what I've allowed to happen." But in all reality, the Bible says that we're blessed because of the God, the Father, who has made us rich in Jesus Christ. When we are born again into God's family, we were born rich. Through Christ, you share the riches of God's grace. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse number 7. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. So we're wealthy because of the source, which is God the Father. And what makes us rich? We are riches in his grace. Look what it says in chapter 2 and look at what it says in verse number 7. It says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So it's speaking about the grace of God and as being shown to us through the riches of his grace through Jesus Christ. And it's important to understand that not only is God's grace part of it, God's glory is part of it. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse number 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So we see the riches of his grace is something that's imparted in us. We see the riches of his glory that is given to us. Look what it says in chapter 3, verse number 16. It speaks about the riches there, that he would be grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with by his spirit in the inner man. So as we're looking at this, we have been blessed, as the Bible says, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And you continue on, not only to talk about God's glory, you can see God's mercy. Look what it says in chapter number 2, verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us. So we see here that it's God. He is the source of our riches. He is the source of all the spiritual blessings. It's done through his Son. But it's, you see, in his mercy. You see, in his glory. You saw already inside his grace, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look, take your Bible and look at chapter 3 and verse number 8. And it says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you say, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I'm trying to understand you. You're blessed. We're all blessed, and we're blessed because of our relationship with God the Father that is through Jesus Christ, your Son. And as we look at it, it's not based off the fact how much money I have in my bank account. It's not based off of what type of car I drive or what type of clothes I wear. I am blessed because I am in Christ, and it's in Christ. I am rich in his glory, rich because of his grace, rich because of his mercy, and they are unsearchable riches. And as you sit there, if you try to read verses 1 through 14, you're going to have to read it numerous times. And actually, if you look at verses, I believe it's verse number 4 through 12, it may even be 3 through 12, it talks about how that's one complete sentence in the original text. But if you sit there and you read it, you're going to have to read it over and over and over to be able to understand the truths that are unlocked in here as if it's getting higher and higher and higher, and it seems like they're unsearchable riches. But I want you to understand tonight that you're a blessed people, and you're not blessed just because of who you know, and sometimes there's a blessing to know people. You're not blessed just because of what you have and the possessions you have and the talents and the abilities you have. You're blessed, and the source of your blessing is God. And you say, why is that important to see? You see, God has given us these blessings. We, number one, understand it's important because we know he's not going to take them away. We're not going to lose them. Number two, he's able to provide those blessings and continue to provide those blessings. So I want you to see, first of all, that source of that blessing. The second thing I want you to see here is the scope of our blessings. The scope of our blessings. Let's look here again. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with, and that next word, all spiritual blessings. This is the quantity of spiritual blessings. It can be summed up in one little word, all. That word tells us that in the Lord, in Christ, we find every single thing we need for this Christian life. He has given us everything we need. He holds nothing back from us. He gives us exactly what we need, and God has held nothing back to his children. When he saved us, he gave us everything we needed to serve him. He gave us everything we need to be content, everything we need to be successful, everything we need to be obedient, everything we need to be useful in the kingdom and to be happy in Christ. I know some people talk about a second blessing. And I think they're missing the point that when God has given us, and if you read and you think about the English that is there, he is who have blessed us, speaking about the past. He has blessed us in the past, but it also is a continuing. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. It's something that is written in the continuum that is continuing this in the blessing that will be in the future. Yes, he's blessed us in the past if we're in Christ, but it is going to continue on and continue on and continue on and continue on forever. And that's why we understand the source of the blessing. Sometimes people have been a blessing to you. Sometimes someone has maybe done something special to you and you say, man, that was such a blessing. But it could have ended at that one moment at that time. Even if someone's been a blessing to you for years and upon years, there might be a day when that person is gone or when that person is no longer able to offer that source. But he says the scope of his blessing is something that is continual and is something that he provides all that we need to be content and to be successful and to be happy. And I want you to understand that some people are seeking that second blessing, and what that is the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. But we got all the Holy Spirit that we got when we got saved. And that second blessing that they're talking about is when we surrender our lives over to the Lord and we give ourselves over to him, and he begins to work anew and afresh in our hearts and our lives because we live for him and live for him with our whole lives. Now, this can be speaking of the blessings of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, and it's talking about spiritual blessings. And so often we talk about the physical blessings that are in this world, but he is saying here in this word is that he is not just giving us physical blessings. They go away, they stop, they end. He is giving you a spiritual blessing that will last and last for all time. And I want you to get that and understand that the spiritual is far more important than the material. The spiritual is far more important than the material. We think about, we talked to the teenagers recently about selling your life short for a bowl of soup. We talked about the story about how the one brother sold his whole birthright, his spiritual marking in the family short for a bowl of soup. He gave up the spiritual side of things. He also gave up a lot of physical things, but he gave up being in the line of Christ for a bowl of soup. And we throw away sometimes the spiritual blessings, and we throw away the spiritual power of God when we believe lying vanities that we talked about this morning, and we turn our back on God, and we don't allow God to bless us because of the material things. Those material things are not as important as spiritual things. And he promises he's going to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But he does not promise us he's going to shield us from poverty. He does not promise he's going to shield us from pain. He does not promise us that he's going to take away everything that we don't like. He doesn't say that in his word. But he does say he is going to give you, as it says here, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So the next thing I want you to think about, not only is it the source of blessings, but the scope of blessings, but it's the sphere of our blessings. This is where it becomes a little bit interesting. Obviously, the other things are interesting too, but what does that mean when it says that these are in heavenly places? Now, there's two different thoughts that are here, and when it thinks about it, heavenly places. Some preachers think it refers to, because Satan is the prince and power of the air, is talking about the heavenlies and how that he can bless us even despite the work that's there in him. Other preachers believe that the spirit blessing is talking about in heavenly places. It's talking about in the heavenlies of Christ. An unsaved person is interested in earthly things because this is where he lives. But Jesus calls them the children of this world. But the Christian life is centered in heaven. The citizenship is in heaven. His name is written in heaven. His Father is in heaven. His intention and affection should ought to be centered in the heaven. We should be in the heavenlies. It describes the place where Christ is right now. Look what it says in verse number two. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is in the heavenlies right now, and where the believer is seated with him. Look what it says in verse number six. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And actually, it's chapter number two, verse number six. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So not only were we crucified with Christ and we raised again with Christ, we are seated with him in the heavenlies. And we're going to look at that as we get to there. But the idea is that our spiritual blessings is something that God has provided. It's provided because of who we are inside of Christ. You say, well, what are some of these blessings? And there are so many different things. But let's look at verse number 7. And like I said, we're not going to go over a lot of them. But verse number 7 shows a couple that we're familiar with. Look at the sphere of these blessings. It's blessings in heavenly places. Means that blessings that are originated in heaven, they're not earthly blessings, but these are heavenly blessings. In the most literal sense, they are heavenly things. And with that in mind, let's look at a few of those as found in verse number 7. First, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. We have redemption in it through his blood. We think about the freedom of the spiritual blessing that God gives us. The verse tells us that we have been redeemed. There are three Greek words in the New Testament that translate redeem. This particular one means to release a captive after the payment of a ransom price. It carries the idea of purchasing a slave and then immediately turning the slave loose. Back in the Roman government, there was millions of slaves, and they were treated like property. They were sold from one person to another person to another person. But someone could buy that slave and give that slave their freedom, and they would be free from then on. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He redeemed us. He bought us back. He paid our price for us, and he has given us a freedom to serve him, a freedom to live for him. That is a spiritual blessing. We are no longer a child of the devil. No longer are we under the bondage of sin. Instead, we are free. He has paid the price. He has loosed us. This is what Christ did for us. And Jesus died for us. And because of his grace, he's delivered us from the captivity of sin. What greater spiritual blessing is there than that? He's saying here in verse number 7, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. And think about it, the forgiveness of sins. So not only are we redeemed, we are forgiven. This verse goes on to tell us that we have received forgiveness of our sins. And I don't know about you, but that means something to me. I was a wretched man, then Jesus saved me. At the instant of salvation, every single sin in my past, present, and future has been forever forgiven. It means that he has forgiven me of all of my sin, and it speaks even of the future terms. Look what it says in verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you see here, there is a destination that we're going to. We are an inheritance. There is something that we will receive. There is a consecration in verse number 12 that we have been to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And then you see that we have been preserved. By who? By what? It says in verse number 13, it says, after that you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption. So these are things that he's saying here, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We are preserved. And why do we receive all these blessings? Why are we someone who's been redeemed and someone who's been forgiven and someone who has been consecrated and someone who has an inheritance in the future and sitting in the heavenlies? Why do we have all these things that are available to us? It's because we're in Christ. You look at the last two words found in verse number 3. And this is probably one of the theme words throughout the entire book. It's in Christ. We're in Christ Jesus. These are all benefits because as a believer, we are in Christ. It says that we're seated with him in the heavenlies. The only way you can enjoy spiritual blessings from the Lord is that you're saved by the grace of God. That happens at the moment of salvation. You're placed into the body of Christ. You get in Christ. When this happens, you are made a partaker of these spiritual blessings. The question is, are you in Christ? And so how can I know that? Well, the Spirit of God tells us this. Have you put your faith and trust in him? Is there something that is the Spirit of God will tell you and show you these things? And it's not just saying some words or a prayer. It's believing with your heart and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As the Bible speaks about repenting of your sins and turning to God. And I want to encourage you tonight that if you want spiritual blessings, as he says, the source is God the Father. The scope is all spiritual blessings. He has given us everything we need to be successful, and the spear is in heavenly places. We are blessed in heavenly places. It's not just here in this world. We have the opportunity to be blessed in spiritual ways, not only in this world, but also in places to come and in heavenly places. So let's think about this for a second. So why do Christians struggle so much? Why do Christians seem like they live such a defeated Christian life? And I was been thinking about that, and as I looked at that, we thought about all the spiritual blessings, and as we continue to climb higher, as we go to verses 4 all the way up to verse number 12, and try to understand what he's talking about all these wonderful spiritual things, why does a Christian act like he has nothing when he has so much in the Lord? And I begin to think, and many times people think that there's different, a book in the Old Testament that's similar to the book in the New Testament. There's books like James speak so much about wisdom, how they connect with the book of Proverbs. And there's different things in there, and there's different books. As we went through the books of the Bible before, journey through the Bible in Sunday school, we talked about the different books that are associated with others. And I think about Ephesians, and I think about many preachers talk about the connection of it with Joshua. And what about Joshua? Remember when we went through Joshua a few years ago on Wednesday nights? We talked about Joshua's intention. God's promise was the promised land. He intended for them to land, live in that land that flowed with milk and honey. And don't get me wrong, the land of Canaan is not heaven. The land of Canaan is the prosperous Christian life. The land of Canaan, in Canaan there was giants. There's not going to be any giants in heaven. There's only going to be God, and there's going to be good things. In the land of Canaan, you had to fight the battle. Christ already fought the battle for us, and we're going to be in heaven someday. But we talked about how the nation of Israel, even when they went up there and they spied out those different areas, and they came back and they gave bad reports. Remember that story, and it's found in Numbers. It says, and they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sights as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. And it speaks about that they looked at that land, and they said, there's no way we can accomplish that. There's no way we can fight that. But what did Caleb say and what did Joshua say? They spoke a different way. They spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not yet against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So what I'm saying is that the promised land, which represents victorious Christian living, was there and it was available. Even Rahab, when those two spies went into Rahab, they talked about, hey, the Jericho is already afraid. Jericho knows that you serve the one true God, that the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. God had already won the victory and won the battle in those lands. All that Israel had to do was by faith take that walk, by faith go in and possess the land. They didn't have to win the land. God had already given them that land. God had already provided those physical blessings and said, hey, look, if you'll just go and take the land, I will give this to you. And he uses the word possess because it was something that God had given them as a possession. But what did the nation of Israel do? They saw the circumstances. They saw the hardships. They did not believe, and they did not proceed by faith. And because they did not proceed by faith, what happens? They spend 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, dying. It's like a funeral march. They don't ever see the benefits. If someone would say, hey, there's God's chosen people. There's what God's got. That's God's best. And they would look at that and say, well, I wouldn't want to be one of God's kids. Children, if all they're going to do is wander around and die and die and die. But the difference was there was one of another spear talking about Caleb, and there was Joshua was there. It says, we are well able to overtake it, and by faith they can continue on, and they can receive the spiritual blessing because they recognize that God had gave them this land. This was what God desired for them and what God had already given them. So in the Christian life, we can live like the children of Israel and live like we have no spiritual blessings, and we can live with the circumstances that are today, and we can look at all the giants, we can look at all the hardships, we can make up excuses, we can, the lying vanities. Remember they said, hey, we can't do this because we won't be able to protect our wife, we won't be able to protect our children. That was a lying vanity. They turned their back to God and the faith that God wanted to have. God was going to give them that land in mercy, but they chose to believe a lie, and they turned their back on that. And because of that, for 40 years, they wander around in the wilderness, and what happens? They died in that wilderness. No spiritual blessing there. So how do we get these spiritual blessings? You say, Pastor, you talk about Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I don't feel that way. How do I get that? You have to believe. You have to recognize what God has given us. And you have to see, you have to learn and understand what we have in Christ and who we are in Christ. And the fact that God the Father has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's given us everything we need. We don't need to wander around in the wilderness and be dissatisfied and not content and murmuring and complaining. Boy, they did a lot of those things. We don't need to be like that. Instead, we can embrace the spiritual blessings that we can, and we can live on a higher plane because we are not bound by this world. Instead, we are in the heavenlies. We are seated with Christ. And when we look at the spiritual blessings that he provides and that he gives to us, it can change how we live. But so often we live like paupers when God has given us so much to be blessed with. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have a lot of money to be blessed. We already talked about that. Those are material things. They are a blessing from God, but he's speaking about something that is eternal, something that lasts forever, and something that we need to understand that we have been blessed with, and we need to live like we have been blessed with spiritual blessings. And look what it says once again in verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father, the source of our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of our blessings, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's the scope of it. Everything we need, he has given to us to be successful and contented. He had given them everything they need to conquer the land of Canaan, that promised land. They chose not to do it. Now, we as a group of people, even as individuals, he has given us all spiritual blessings. Now, how are we going to choose to live? Are we going to live like the nation of Israel that lives as if they have nothing to look forward to and has no hope and has no strength and has no power? Or are we going to live like people that have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places? So the thought here is, especially if you think of the heavenly places being the one that is in the prince and power of the air, and how we live in the day and time, and as we approach that prince and power of the air, we can look at the devil and see how strong he is and see how powerful he is, how wicked he is, and how his devices destroy homes and believers and things like that. We can look at it that way, or we can reckon ourselves dead, and we can look at the fact that he's a defeated foe, and we can live a spiritual battle with having victory, because faith is the victory, and we can live a life that is conquering the devil and conquering the things of this world. If we all just stop looking at the giants and stop looking at the wickedness of the devil and what it seems like he has control over us, and start looking at, we have spiritual blessings in high places, in heavenly places, in Christ. We'll close with this thought. This morning in Sunday school class, I was talking about, why does it seem like no one has much effect against the devil? Why does it seem like the modern day church that we have has no power and doesn't seem like it's accomplishing anything against the devil? And it's because many times people don't consider the fight they're in. They don't consider the source. They don't consider the battle that they're in. They don't even recognize the devil. They rather sit and put their head in the sand like an ostrich and think, oh, this is just life. This is something I have to deal with. But that's not what he tells us in the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. He tells us that we may be able to withstand the devil and withstand the fiery darts and the wiles of it tells us that there's a battle and there's a fight. And so often in our spiritual lives and even our mind, this battle for our mind and the battle for our thought life, it's this. am I going to recognize who the source of the wickedness is? And am I going to fight that? Or am I going to let those thoughts continue to stay in my mind? Am I going to continue to think on those thoughts and continue to allow those temptations to ruin my life by considering them and spending time letting those conceive and to be sin and to conceive and to be an act? You know, when does it all change? It changes when we recognize who the source is, but also it changes when we realize who the source of our spiritual blessing is. It's God. We are seated in the heavenlies. We do not have to act like we're not Christians. We do not have to act as if we have to sin and we don't have any other choice. We don't have to lie. We don't have to do these things. He says that we can reckon ourselves sent dead. We are not servants of sin. Because of the fact we have freedom, because of the fact we've been redeemed, we have spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So tonight, I want you to just consider some things. In our spiritual lives, that we act like we're heirs and joint heirs of Christ, seated in the heavenlies with him, living a conquering Christian life? Or are we struggling? Are we like the nation of Israel that looks at that and says, man, I just have to make it through. I guess God, and this is just horrible here in this world. No, we've been blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. And if we would live our lives thinking and believing and trusting that he has given us everything we need to succeed, we'll be blessed, as it says, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Tonight, do you believe that God's in control? Do you believe he's given you all spiritual blessings like it talks about in those words, in his word there? Do you believe that you can have a victorious Christian life? He says he's given you all spiritual blessings in heavenly places because we're in Christ. Are you in Christ tonight? We should live like we're in Christ. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.